Hello, this is Lauren Chang, Managing Editor at Competition Policy International. As part of our Spring 2012 issue, CPI is presenting a retrospective of our best articles from the past and providing updates. One of our selections is Screens for Conspiracies and Their Multiple Applications, originally appearing in the Fall 2010 issue of the journal. Providing some of her insights into this article, as well as reasons why the ideas explored in it are still relevant today, is co-author Rosa Abrantes-Metz. Rosa is currently a principal at Global Economics Group and adjunct associate professor at NYU's Thurn School of Business, where she teaches industrial economics, monetary policy, and financial institutions. In the past, she has served as staff economist at the Federal Trade Commission and taught econometrics at the University of Chicago. Rosa is one of the leading developers of screens to detect conspiracies, manipulations, and fraud, and also uses these techniques on the other side to assist in defending against allegations of such behavior. Romy, could you tell us what were the most significant developments in screening since your article with co-author Patrick Najjari was published?
Sure. Lauren, thank you so much for this opportunity to talk to you about screens. So over the last couple of years since we published our article, there have been some pretty significant developments in the area of screening. The most important to me personally, but also in terms of dimension and potential implications, is the alleged LIBOR conspiracy and manipulation with current investigations worldwide. The LIBOR is a benchmark rate to which it is estimated about $350 trillion in contracts are benchmark against. So very important. And 4 years ago, following a couple of articles in the Wall Street Journal, first putting the possibility of a manipulation in these rates, I and co-authors, Albert Metz, Mike Gratton, and Jim Seo decided to take a closer look at this topic, and we looked into the period flagged by the Wall Street Journal initially, but a variety of other periods as well, and put together a set of results in which we flagged situations that were unexpected, behavior that was unexpected by the banks, and that could potentially, though our work was not approved, flag the possibility of not only a manipulation, but actually coordinated behavior by the banks, implying the possibility of a conspiracy. Last year we learned, so 3 years after our paper came out, that there are investigations by the SEC, CFTC, the DOJ, the European Commission, the OFT, and a variety of other regulatory and competition authorities on this matter. So I would say this is the most important, in my view, development. But over the last few years as well, competition authorities have started to increase their adoption of these methods. And, for example, the Mexicans have flagged a bid rigging cartel in pharmaceuticals, and the Brazilians have flagged gasoline cartels in a particular area of Brazil. So these have been significant developments in the area of detection, and follow these, particularly in the case of the LIBOR. We're starting to see screens being applied in other areas as well for other purposes, such as in complaints by plaintiffs. There's a variety of uses of screens in the LIBOR matters, and I expect they will also be used by defendants.
So, aside from detections, how have screens increased their use for other purposes?
So, the first purpose of a screen is detection. If a screen, which is an econometric model based on a theory of cheating, cannot detect alleged behavior, then it's really not useful for other purposes. But given that we have already established the power of several screens, then they can be used in a variety of other settings, and the exact same results that can be used to flag a conspiracy and to assist in proving, though it's never final proof, but to assist in proving the existence of a conspiracy, manipulation, or any other type of fraud, they can just as well be used to assist in defending against allegations of that type of behavior, because if one does screen the market and does not find any strange patterns, then there's only two possible reasons: either nothing illegal happened, or even if anything illegal happened, it had no material impact in the market. And then through the use of other tools, one can try and separate between these two possibilities. But screens can be used by defendants. I have certainly used them in these settings in initial stages of investigations in manipulations and conspiracy cases, and even other fraud cases to assist in showing that there doesn't seem to exist anything abnormal going on in the market. But plaintiffs have also started to use screens, I mentioned earlier, on the LIBOR, and it is possible that after Twombly, screens can be of additional help in the highest standards that are not now required after Twombly to pass initial stages of litigation. Regulators and competition authorities worldwide have also started to use screens for detection. And another development that is starting to occur now and expect is going to become bigger over the next few years is the use of screens in antitrust compliance programs, given that regulators are using these methods and new regulations, for example, in financial markets do require tighter compliance programs. Several financial institutions and energy companies have started implementing some of these tools to try and flag potential illegal behavior internally.
Well, what role should screens play when compared to leniency programs?
Well, I see screens as a complement to leniency. Leniency programs have, of course, been very successful, but they do tend to flag cartels primarily in a particular set of industries. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that there aren't cartels in other industries, but leniency programs do not tend to flag these. And at the same time, leniency is based on the idea of the whistleblower. There's somebody within the organization of the cartel that is not quite so happy with the way things are going and decides to complain. Now, when cartels are very successful from their point of view, very profitable and raise prices significantly, it is less likely that a whistleblower will come through. And so it is less likely in those situations that a leniency program will be able to detect cartel, in which case a screen can come into play. See, for example, the case of the LIBOR. That this is a case in which it's, for me, a standard example of how screens should complement leniency. We applied screens to the market. Some abnormal patterns came through. Years later, investigations did get started, and they got started much before there was any leniency implication, and they were public. Later on, several months after these investigations became public, one of the banks filed for leniency with the Department of Justice. And this is exactly how screens and leniency can and should interact. I'm not quite sure, had screens not been applied to LIBOR, that the alleged wrongdoing would have been detected through leniency. So additionally, I believe that screens can have an important role in deterring this type of behavior from even getting started. If marketplace know that competition authorities and regulators are using these methods, and they're not even quite sure what exactly are the methods being used and what exactly is being flagged, but they do know their data is being analyzed, they might have second thoughts about engaging in this type of behavior. So complementarity and deterrence are the two ways in which I feel screens can contribute to detection.
Great. And lastly, what do you see in the future for screens?
Well, I see even just in the last 2, 3, or even 5 years, this is an area that has grown very significantly, not just in terms of research, but in terms of adoption by competition authorities. And through the adoption of competition authorities, market players will believe these screens are credible and will want to use them as well. I think this is a trend that is going to continue. This obviously, screens are based on data availability, and if there are no data, one cannot apply these type of screens. Maybe other things can be done, but not empirical screens. But every time there's better data, there's more frequent data, and there's more economists capable of appropriately analyzing the data and developing new techniques for the market at hand. So I think the use of screens can only increase over time.
Thank you very much, Romy. This has been a terrific discussion on how screens can be used to promote goals in antitrust and competition policy. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Lauren. This was a good opportunity to talk a little bit about this area of research and its applications to litigation, which I feel, at least in my point of view, is a really fascinating area.